In the spirit of the month of Chodesh Iyar, Rishus, Rabbi Cohen, Rabbi Blau, and the fact that we celebrate two Nisim Geluyim of this generation in the month of Iyar, Yom Atzmut and Yom Yerushalayim, I'd like to focus for a few minutes on an esoteric component of a famous pasuk that speaks about Geula. The pasuk in Zechariah, which tells us, Gili ma'od bat Tzion, rejoice the daughters of Tzion, Hari bash Yerushalayim, shout out the daughters of Yerushalayim, Hine malchech yavolach, behold, the Mashiach is coming, Tzadik v'noshahu, he is righteous and victorious. Nevertheless, Ani v'rochev ala chamor, he is humble, or he is poor, riding upon a donkey. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses the contradiction between this pasuk and a pasuk in Daniel, which speaks about Va'aru im anane shamaya, that behold, the Mashiach comes with the clouds of heaven. And the Gemara explains that there are two types of paradigms. There is the Be'ita Achishena paradigms. There is the idea that sometimes Geula can come in one fell swoop if we are Zachu, if we have the Zchus for that to happen. And sometimes Be'ita, sometimes we might not have the capacity, the zchus, to accept redemption, but sometimes redemption is necessary anyways, and redemption will come slowly. In fact, the Ramban, the Orach Chaim, and others speak about the fact that Geula can come even if, as the Orach Chaim quotes, even if the Knesset Yisrael are Rishayim Gemurim, Chas V'Shalom. And when Geula comes in a slow process, it comes with challenges. It's interesting that in Tanakh, for the most part, we are never told how someone travels. When Avraham travels to Eretz Yisrael, Lech Lecha, we're not told how he travels. When he travels to Egypt with his wife, we're not told how he travels. When Moshe goes to Midian, we're not told how he travels. There are times in which, like in the story of Rachel and the Truffim, we are specifically told about the mode of transportation because it's necessary for the storyline. But there are 10 times in Tanakh, and only 10 times in Tanakh, in which we are informed that a chamor, the chamor which is used to depict Geula, is used as a mode of transportation. And it seems at first blush to be information that is completely irrelevant. It includes, for example, the story of Avraham and the Akedah, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, Vayachvosh es chamoro. Or when Moshe travels back with his family, back to Egypt, Vayikach Moshe Sishto Vespanav, Vayar Kiveim Al Hachamor. Or the story of Bilam. Or the final of the 10 stories. We're not going to go through each one, but the final of the 10 stories in Malachim Beis, when the Isha Shunamis is promised a child by Elisha for the hospitality that she offers Elisha, and then the son dies, she runs back to Elisha. And it says, Batachvosh Ha'ason, that she prepares her donkey, Batomel Nara Nahag Valech, let's go, don't stop, go straight, and let's speak to Elisha. Why does it matter? Why are there 10 different times that the animal that represents redemption, we're introduced to the fact that it is the mode of transportation? Why is it relevant? In fact, Chazal try to weave some type of picture between these distinct incidents by stating in Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, Hu sherachav alav Avraham, that the chamor that Avraham rode upon, that chamor is the same chamor that was created bein hashmashos in the beginning of creation, right before Shabbos. It's the chamor that Bilam rode on. This chamor that Avraham rode on and that Bilam rode on, it's the same chamor that prior to Bilam riding on it, Sherachav alav Moshe b'bal Mitzrayim, that Moshe rode on. It's the same chamor. And this chamor that Avraham rode on, that was prepared for Bilam, that Moshe rode on, says Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, hu achamor she'atid ben David l'rchov alav. This is also the same chamor that the Mashiach will ride upon. And so this chamor, this idea that this chamor is created bein hashmashos, and the fact that the chamor is the only non-kosher animal which requires pidyon, is highlighting a certain point. The first point that it's highlighting is, like the din of bein hashmashos, which is a bridge, and especially bein hashmashos between Shabbos and Chol, that that this whole idea that the chamor, or what the chamor represents, as the Maharal says, chomer, the beast of burden, the materialism, that materialism is sometimes the bridge between the spiritual and the physical. If we know how to be lachbosh, to ride, to harness, to focus the materialism in ways that empowers us to live meaningful lives, purposeful lives, the materialism isn't bad, but the chamor represents this idea, the chamor which represents this beast of burden, the only animal that requires, the only non-kosher animal that requires pidyon, the animal that is created ben hashmashos. It highlights the idea that materialism can sometimes serve as a synergistic bridge between the physical and the spiritual to allow us to achieve spiritual greatness. It's why the Rav and the Mechanech, who represents Torah, has to carry themselves in a proper, regal fashion and not chas v'shalom as a schlump. It's why successful members of a community need to be taught that material wealth is to be used to celebrate Torah principles, not chas v'shalom to create a lifestyle which may look externally from, but one in which the values are subjugated to chomer, to materialistic cravings. But there is a much deeper message, that Chazal are trying to communicate to us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to communicate to us, that the Nevi'im that wrote Tanakh are trying to communicate to us by trying to weave these 10 stories about the chamor and also using that animal as the animal that represents a slow messianic process. And that is that while it may seem that in all 10 stories that the chamor is irrelevant, there's an unbelievable article that I read in Megadim that highlights a message that's so deep, that highlights a message that really, these 10 incidents, there's something extremely relevant in all of them. And that is that in every single example in which the chamor is selected as the recorded mode of transportation, the assumed purpose of the stated trip, the purpose of the trip and its outcome are totally different. Avraham's goal with Yitzchak is to bring him upon a mizbeach. Kachnas bincha shichidcha. Vayashkeim Avraham baboker, vayachbosh es chamoro. His goal with the chamor is to bind and to kill his son and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's not what happens. Vayomer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al tishlach yadcha es hanar. Don't touch this nar. Moshe's purpose in traveling back to Egypt is Vayikach Moshe's ishto ves banav vayakivem al chamor. It's to bring his family back to Egypt. That's not what happens. We're told, in fact, it's highlighted when Moshe Rabbeinu meets Yisro for the first time. Vayikach Yisro Chose Moshe et Sipara Eishes Moshe Achash Luchela. Every Mefarish on that pasuk explains, why does Yisro need to bring out Sipara? Because Sipara never went down to Egypt. At that inn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't need you to bring additional Jews down to Mitzrayim. I don't need you to do that. In the story of Bilam, what does Bilam want to do? He wants to follow Balak's idea. Lecha na aralia ta amazeh. I want you to curse the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, lo teleichim ahem, don't go with them. Ki baruchu, because the Jewish people ought to be blessed. But nevertheless, vayakam Avraham baboker, Bilam baboker. Bilam gets up in the morning, vayachbosh et atono, and he harnesses, he prepares his donkey, because he wants to curse the Jewish people. But again, the intention of the rider, the intention of the journey, doesn't happen. Because what does he state? Matovu olecha Yaakov, mishkenotzecha Yisrael. The Isha Shunamis is blessed with a child, and the Isha Shunamis, her child faints and dies, and immediately, vatachboshet to atone, she prepares her donkey. Why? Because she wants to go to Elisha, and she says to Elisha, Hasha'alti bein me'es adoni, did I ask you for a child? In fact, I told you, halo amarti lo tasleoti, don't deceive me, don't promise me something that you can't do, you give me a child and then it dies? What does Elisha say to this woman who's riding the donkey, to the Isha Shunamis? Elisha says, Gehazi, I want you to go with the Isha Shunamis, I want you to go back home with this woman riding the donkey. I don't want you to say hello to anybody. If anyone speaks to you, act like a New Yorker and don't respond to them. I want you to go back straight. I want you to take my matzah. I want you to wave it over the baby. And the woman who came to me on a donkey, her child will be saved. But the intention of the woman to save the child, that's not what happens. Gehazi cannot achieve the mission that the woman, the Isha Shunamis, wants to happen as she rides the chamor to Elisha. In every one of the 10 cases, the intended, assumed purpose of the trip and its immediate outcome is different. And there's a deep message for us. That many times in life, we harness the chomer, we harness materialism to achieve goals. Often we travel great distances to actualize our dreams, but sometimes it does not land up exactly the way we expect. The destination will not exactly be the course that we charted. The journey will not always be the one we expected, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate navigator of our life's explorations. The only thing that we can guarantee as we travel down the course of life, the only thing that we can guarantee is the values that we bring to our life's travels. It's those values that will empower the journey and ensure that we live redemptive lives. And as the semester ends and the summer comes upon us, it's our responsibility to do a cheshbon hanefesh, to ask ourselves, as the Gemara says, that if someone sees a chamor in a dream, one has to recognize that the focus is on geula, the idea that the whole chamor in Tanakh represents the idea that sometimes the journey is not exactly what we expect, but the redemption happens when there are stumblings throughout the process, and one has the capacity to calibrate their spiritual compass and allow the journey to take place as long as it's infused with the proper values. And the challenge that we need to ask ourselves is, how have we used the chomer? How have we used the chomer? How have we used materialism to make sure that our lives are imbued with meaning? To make sure that our unique talents that each and every one of us has, unique talents different from each other, transform ourselves and the Torah world around us. And on a cosmic level, this is why the chamor is representative of the Mashiach riding upon it in a slow redemptive process. And this is highlighting the notion that we need to take as we begin to celebrate Yom HaTzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. The recognition that the Jewish people, Knesset Yisrael, is on a journey that has just begun with Medinat Yisrael, a journey that is slow and difficult, like an ani v'rochev al hachamor. And just like the chamor throughout Tanakh, that the journey and the beginning of the mission and sometimes the end, there are stumbles in the process and there are challenges in the process. Sometimes we have become concerned, and even some of us turned off over some of the stumblings that we see on the journey through Medina Israel to complete the Geula. But that's why Chazal tells us that the chamor of Avraham and the chamor of Moshe and the chamor of Bilam, all representing animals that were on a journey, or that the person was on a journey, and the goal of the intended journey was not exactly what they expected, and there was course corrections that were necessary, is the same chamor that Mashiach rides, is to remind us that when you go through a slow process of redemption, there will be stumblings, and there will be course corrections and changes on the way. And as a community, we often act like aniyim. We often act like poor people. Poor in vision, and even poorer in hakaras hatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as this Chodesh Iyar, this Yom HaTzmaut, this Yom Yerushalayim begins, we have to realize how much we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let us not falter. Let us not become ensconced in cynicism that deters us from participating in an appropriate remembrance of those who've given their lives al Kiddush Hashem, in an appropriate celebration and tefillah of hoda'ah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We had a Rosh Yeshiva's meeting today, and there was a conversation that Yom HaTzma'ut is Bahab. So Rav Shechter in the meeting said that there's no stira between saying Hallel and Bahab. And Rav Goldvich responded, yeah, they do in Merikas, they do the same thing. It's probably the only two institutions in the world that will say Slichas and Hallel on the same day. But there's no stira. It's our responsibility to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift that He has given to us with all the stumblings, with all the challenges that have come across the way. Let us recognize the sacrifices of the lives that have been lost, the families that have been shattered, the fact that Noam Shalit still has to sit in a tent by the Prime Minister's house because he does not know where his son is, the fact that Yonah Baumol recently passed away without the Menuchas Nefesh of knowing whether his son was dead or alive. We need to take out the time to recognize the losses that have happened with the Ani V'Rochev Al HaChamor. And we need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the wondrous journey that He has bestowed on this generation that our great-grandparents could never have even dreamed. They dreamt of it, but they never saw it in their lifetimes. And we need to take this opportunity to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the stumblings of the redemptive process, that the stumblings that the Chamor represents, will end, and that we will be zocha to a geula shleima b'mehera b'yameinu.